Blog Talk Radio.
Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports
and
Death.
And if I may say that these Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Oh, yeah. It's that time again. And it's from Brazil again. And it's boxing again. And it's Dusty. Excuse me, hopefully Lady A. Danny All Strike Styles and our favorite nephew. We talk about a lot of things. It's a special edition, limited time. This time from Caxias. Manaus in Brazil last week. It was Fortaleza. It's capital city of CI. Tiger Woods still the buzz of the Pac-Man. Mayweather 2 is a buzz. Canelo wins big. I didn't see that being a close fight. Nephew thinks that there's hanky-panky in baseball. And we hear all at the SID Nation. Thanks, Luke and Lady A. Our prayers are simply out to the boxing freak. Our dear friend Mark Whelan, who, like Buddy McGirt a couple years ago, lost his beloved mom. Live here. And as always, open up with, man, we always remember finally with a lot of love, Mel Cosell Smith, the Sports and Depth Nation, which he coined, produced. Weather, it's about 82 degrees. Yeah. It's always 88, about 97. No humidity for the laser. 6 hours of sun, 6 hours of light. No little paradise. Doc Stanley Sports and the Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God. We're never with the Tree of Hope. Our dear friend George Santiago. Dusty going to need you to do a story for him. Putting together all the baseball memorabilia. Take the Olympics and collect at least about 50 grand to help. Service to others to make you pay for your room here in Muhammad Ali. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing? For the medical community, I am. My brother's king. It's Mandela, my brother's Paul. Jackie Robinson, a life is not important except for the impact it has on another life. Son of Man came for serving nights. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth Block Talk Radio, the Trust and Government Network. As always, open with a prayer. Show's a little shorter here as we time limitation. But let's get into a quick prayer. John Coltrane will do some prayer. Then we'll talk some boxing, some baseball. As a thought, our dear friend, Mark Whelan, just found out to the hoops. 88. Lost the left. At this time, as we remember Mark in prayer, let's remember us all in prayer as we take time to stop, pick up our hats, close our eyes, and give all honors and prayer to one only true God. That's my thoughts, that's my that. Hello to our number one listener, Volker. Most of you know you've had her for a while, but now, dear Lord, thank you for another day. This morning's getting up, last night lying down, food on our table, clothes on our back, clothes in our right mind. Knowing not what tomorrow brings, but who brings tomorrow. Before the Sanctuary, we have to be greatly trusted to you. We ask you that you reach out and touch your Breland family. There's a whole lot of other families that have to be. We don't need to be in the future. Touch your guidance and strength. Realizing once we are those in Christ, death is not a period. Thank you. The days of our life. In the name of your darling son, our Lord and Savior. I remember when Stella and now
concentrated power, 45% smaller
than because the situation, and thus they got I got a lot of background noise. Just got to knock it out. Slow it down. Hello. Any of you got the idea?
Doc, that's not me.
Okay, hey, lady. Dusty, you can knock that noise off. 88. Man, it is a delight to hear the voice of this great lady. Lady, we talked about, first of all, thanks for giving a message from Hoopster to alert us to the passing of Mark's mother. And Canelo Triple G, did you get a chance to see that yet?
No.
I just 115, 113 I could buy, but 116, 112 was more the way I saw it. Nowhere in the world was it a draw, and without question, Canelo won this fight. He was the aggressor. Roy Jones Jr. said something too. He said, you know what? The Triple G camp talked about wanting Canelo to be right there in front of him. Well, he was. He was. This is what they said.
But you know, what it is, Doc. You know what it is, Doc. And I made this comment before. Again, I can't really say too much. You know what? You know, because I really didn't say anything. But I think when you look at the style, you know, there's a saying in boxing that styles make fights. And when you have two fighters that are straightforward fighters.
Dusty, I need that background noise knocked out. You're coming in too loud with the background noise. Yeah. So please knock out whatever your background noise is for me. Thanks. Go ahead, Lady A.
No, I was just going to say, when you have two fighters, and they say styles make fights, when you have two fighters that are fighters that come forward with the same type of styles you see with both fighters, you know, you're gonna have a fight that falls two ways. Either it's awkward, right, and you're going to have fighters that are awkward, or it's going to be the kind of fight where – kind of like a similar to the fight that happened between Winky Wright and Bernard Hopkins, because they're both counter fighters. So, you know, it's not going to be that great of a fight. Now, I heard otherwise. Again, I can't make comments because I really didn't see the whole fight. I only saw excerpts, so I can't really say. But, again, I think that, you know, that being the case, I think those are two things that you kind of consider when you see two fighters that are like that.
Yeah, but my thing is that Triple G's people thought they won the first fight. Triple G's people said, you know what, we need him to stand in front of us, and this will be resolved. There'll be no question about a second fight. And they lost it. I mean, that's the whole thing.
you know, the great fighters, and we talked about this, you and Dusty. And Dusty, I need you to knock out that background noise so we can get you here. The you know, Triple G did not make the adjustments. Supposedly they had the, there was no need to make an adjustment because, you know what, I knew the fastball was coming. So I didn't have to wait for the off-speed curveball or the inside drop. He didn't make, you know, at the end of the second round, it looked like he was tied. At the end of the fifth round, he was bewildered. And say what you want, Abel Sanchez told him in the 12th round, you need a knockout. So there's no way, shape, or form that he thought he was winning that fight. But more importantly, you asked him, you know, you told me I want a steak well done with a baked potato. I brought you a steak well done. You said, oh, this is not the way I want it. That's what you asked for. You know, and Dusty talked about the fact that before this fight, Dusty thought he liked Canelo in the first one. He said Canelo's going to beat him this time because here's the thing. Canelo made the adjustments. As Marion Borkin said, Canelo has proved to be the best all-around fighter. And this was the whole key. Canelo made the adjustment, okay?
Yes.
Triple G didn't. But supposedly, Triple G didn't have to make an adjustment because he knew the fastball was coming. Now he struck out four times, and he's saying, wow, I struck out. Dusty, you said last fight that this fight, Canelo was going to make the needed adjustment.
Well,
this
I mean,
fight,
you know, I mean, fight. Hold on. Can I just throw something in the conversation?
Hey,
I
hey.
Papa, how you doing?
I'm muchacha, stranger, disappear. You abandoned me.
I had to call
the lost and found. Nobody give me an answer, man.
No, I was just gonna throw this in the conversation.
Yeah.
A couple of things that, again, that were brought to my attention. It's not something that I thought I could just throw away. And, again, I didn't see the fight, so I can't really comment. But was, number one, Triple G with this fight would have tied 20 defenses. And he would have broken. He would have tied or broken Bernard Hopkins' record.
He would have broken.
Bernard Hopkins, right, Bernard Hopkins' record. And who is Canelo's promoter? Golden Boy.
Golden Boy,
so,
yeah.
Again, it was just something that was brought to my attention. You know, there's something that kind of says, well, was this something that now he can't win a fight in Las Vegas? I don't know. I didn't see the fight. Let me answer that question.
Okay?
Hold on, Dusty. You know what? No, go ahead, Dusty. Let me answer that question. Hold on, Dusty, real quick. This is Marvin Hagler griping after he loses to Ray Leonard. Okay? This is Marvin Hagler, who's supposed to run through this guy like a hot knife through butter. And more importantly, Dusty, Triple G said he wanted Canelo in front of him. Dusty, he was there all night.
Well, let me tell you something. Let me answer Lady A's remarks about Golden Boy and all that. Triple G, as much as he fought and as well as he fought, could never win in Las Vegas. That's why Tom Loeffler, who promotes Triple G, said we need a change of venue, just like a jury when the guys are found guilty.
Oh, okay, so,
Let me finish. We need a change of venue. The best neutral corner for the third fight, which I endorse, would be MSG, pay-per-view. Okay? That's what they want to do. They want a third fight. Now Canelo and Golden Boy said, well, if they want it, we really don't need it. We got Willie Boy Saunders, and we got David Lemieux, and we got all them other guys. But if they want
Triple G beat their ass? Okay, go ahead, continue.
No, but what I'm saying to you is that, yes, to me, Canelo won that fight. Why? Because he upset Triple G. Triple G is the stalker. Triple G is the one that comes after you.
100%.
From Bell One, it was Canelo who was the stalker.
But you know what, Dusty? You saying that?
Yeah.
But you saying that, you're 100% right, because that's what I just said to Doc.
Yeah.
I said they're both of them fight the same way. They both attack.
But the thing was, Canelo changed.
The first fight, people complained that Canelo didn't fight. Canelo laying against the ropes.
Nonsense.
Canelo was boxing.
Nonsense. He took a page out of Danny Jacobs's.
A lot of people said that. I didn't see the first fight. You saw it. A lot of people said Canelo laid against the rope. Canelo wasn't aggressive.
He did what Danny Jacobs did. I'm telling you. he stole a page from Danny Jacobs. That's why he, quote and unquote, survived, because he outboxed him and he moved and made him miss. But this time, like I've been telling you, he changed his plans and says, now I know how to beat him. I'm going after him. And that's exactly what he did. And if you saw Triple G, the eighth and ninth round, the man was tired. He was walking around with his mouth open. I feared he may get a broken jaw.
You said that, one, Canelo knew how to beat him this time. And you said, two, the reason why that Triple G's camp was haggling over money because they knew that the end was near. Now, I'm going to read you what the great Marion Boykin gave me, his synopsis of this fight. You know, he could, and I, you know, now Triple G's complaining about a change of venue. He's complaining about, I mean, first of all, I didn't like the idea that he didn't come to the post fight. He didn't talk to HBO. But then again, I don't have any problem with people. Don't talk
to HBO. Oh, yeah, sour grapes.
But I'm finding out now that HBO is no longer doing boxing anymore.
Out of boxing,
and,
yes.
Out of boxing, because people that it was Don King that made HBO box. HBO had no boxing. Don King came there, made HBO boxing, and then when HBO refused to grant their wish of, they said, look, you know what? What we want is we don't want Larry Merchant no longer doing Mike Tyson fight. Here's my synopsis from the great Marion Boykin, the greatest boxing show of all time. HBO Boxing died when his show went off the air and they didn't give him a shout. As to the fight, I basically agree and give it to Canelo because he came out and gave them what they wanted. Triple G simply did not. And I don't need to see them fight again. And Canelo, though smaller, is the better all-around fighter, in my humble opinion. And I think Canelo showed that.
Yep. Yes,
and also, let's remember, when Triple G has fought top-flight competition, he's went the distance. Danny Jacobs, now twice with Canelo, he's went the distance.
That's incorrect, Doc. Actually, that's incorrect. I'm sorry. You're incorrect.
Yeah.
Because if you rewind it, he did go the distance with Gabriel Rosado. Sorry. Have to rewind it. But he was the first one to go far.
Went the eighth or ninth round until they stopped.
Right, but that's further than half. Nene, that's further than half the other guys that haven't gone.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Okay, thank you. And the only reason why at that point he had gone that far with Triple G was because Triple G was sick in that fight.
Yes. And Rosado was kicking the shit out of him.
Thank you.
Exactly.
So I had to, sorry, Doc, I had to rewind the tape a little. Go ahead.
But the fact of the matter is that the reason why it was stopped, in my opinion, with Rosado, was that Rosado had cut him and busted his mouth.
Right.
Rosado had a couple of cut eyes. And to save Triple G, they stopped the Rosado fight.
Thank you.
But Rosado was ready to bust him. Now,
thank you. He went the distance more than the other guys.
He went longer than some guys. But the fact of the matter is that, Doc, you're right.
Nobody had went that long with Triple G. But now that ends.
Right, because he was fighting tomato cans, man. They were all number one challengers, but they were all tomato cans.
Hold up, I gotta add to that.
Okay.
However, nobody wanted to fight the guy. He was fighting four times a year, and nobody's fight. I don't know of anybody in boxing at the time that was fighting four times a year. You name one.
But you see, what I'm trying to make you understand, Lady A, is that he was fighting the mandatory challenges, challenge like from Kell Brook, who moved up from welterweight to middleweight and gave him a pretty hard way to go, but that was a welterweight fighting in Triple G's rearhouse.
And I understand that, but if nobody else is fighting you, what are you supposed to do?
Because that's it. Again, the answer is that he was fighting the mandatory challengers.
Correct.
There are two or three guys there that I didn't even know their last names, but they
right.
were mandatory
yeah.
challengers.
Right, right.
So that's why he had a 23.
But nobody else is fighting. Who? Like, hold up, Dusty. Name me who in boxing at the time, other than Rigondeaux, was fighting four times a year. Nobody.
Well, listen.
Nobody's fighting four
point.
Times a year.
But Dusty made a point, Lady A. He fought Brook, who came up, and he had a fight. I mean,
he had a fight or lose the title. He lost
right.
one title. He
right.
lost one title when he fought Canelo a second time.
That was
okay,
that's
the title that Danny Jacobs is fighting for. This is what
right.
I'm trying to make you understand. He
no,
had
no,
to
I,
fight the
I
mandatories.
Nene, and I understand it. Nene, that's not. I'm not arguing with you. All I'm saying is in all the years that we've been covering Triple G,
yeah.
because we've been covering him from the beginning, thank you, unlike all these people that jumped in the bandwagon, thank you very much, okay? In all the years that we've been covering Triple G, okay, nobody, Papa, nobody was stepping to the plate at the time. You saw what he did to Lemieux. You
of
saw what
course.
He did to Lemieux
Those
and all these other guys. I
Curtis
give the guy
Stevens,
credit.
Curtis Stevens and Lemieux were the only two guys of quality that stepped up. But then what he had to do was comply with the mandatories. There's, you know, if the mandatory dude is blind and a paraplegic, and that's the guy he has to fight. There's nothing
and
he
can do. And I understand, Nene, and I understand that. I totally
but,
get
but,
you.
But at least he kept busy and honored
right.
his responsibility.
Unlike,
but now,
unlike some other guys that pick and choose who we're not going to name names.
Oh, yeah, but
who
well, you know, that's,
who they
that's
want.
Everywhere. That's everywhere, including
–
Joshua, who just fought this freaking Alexander Povetkin, I mean, instead of fighting Deontay Wilder, who's going to fight Tyson Fury in December 1st. So hopefully, now that he got Povetkin out the way, and if Wilder survives Tyson Fury, they'll probably get the Battle of the Titans next week. I mean, next week, next year.
Hold on. Back up. Let's go back to Wilder. Both of you, hold on a minute. Because we want to take this opportunity, once again, from the SID family. Hoopsa got in contact with Lady A, and our dear friend, the greatest amateur fighter of all time, one of the elite fighters of our time, we want to convey our sympathy and prayers to Mark Breland, who lost his beloved mother. This is the second time we've had a friend of ours and a champion of ours lose his mother. Buddy McGirt, 2 years ago, lost his mother on his birthday. So at this time, on behalf of the Sports and Deaf Nation, and I already called Mark and expressed it to him from us, but we're just taking this time out to ask you all out there to send out your prayers and sympathy to Mark and his family. Tree of Hope, George Santiago, best friend of the greatest manager in baseball, Dusty Baker, Tree of Hope. I'll get back to you, Dusty. He needs some story done. He's working on that for the Olympics. And also Glenn Hunter, second annual Kyle Ramsey Awards dinner. They'll salute the greatest, most exciting player ever saw, ain't Michael Jordan, Dr. J, and the man who had one of the most memorial moments in the history of basketball, New York City basketball, Willis Reed. They're both being saluted. Taking this quick time out just send our prayers out to Mark and his family, and also salute once again. Last week, Tiger Woods, after 5 years, really felt he should have won two other, won his first, his 80th PGA championship. And he came back again one more time. And ladies and gentlemen, okay, we beat it on this. I want to go back to y'all. We'll finish up. Then I want opinions on the rumor that we're going to have Pacquiao Mayweather too, Lady A and Dusty.
Oh, man, I don't want to see that. I heard, okay, you want to take a break and then come back, or you just want to talk about this garbage?
No, we're done now. I mean, let's finish up with, I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Lady A, you got to see this first, right? Dusty, Lady A, after do we want to see a Triple G Canelo 3?
I do. Because let me tell you something. This is the danger, and I see it, and I endorse it, and I understand Tom Loeffler. Canelo could be beaten 9 out of 10 rounds, and he'll either get a draw or he'll win a split decision in Las Vegas. Okay? Canelo cannot lose in Las Vegas. Triple G did his best both times, because let me tell you something. One of the greatest things that are missing in today's boxing venue is a jab. Triple J has a jab second to none when it comes to, and this is my opinion, you can correct me if I'm wrong and don't have to agree, second to none to the Larry Holmes or maybe even Joe Louis. When he throws out that jab, you eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, no matter what. What saved him from being knocked out by Canelo was that jab. Every time Canelo hurt him, busted him up, he threw that jab and kept Canelo at bay. That's what I'm saying. Do I want to see it? Yes, I want to see it for the simple reason that Canelo will go after him again. Maybe Abel Sanchez is talking to his rear end because he said something about what Canelo ran the first time. Bullshit. He did not run the first time. He had a battle plan. Everybody has a battle plan. And I know Canelo took a page out of Danny Jacobs, how he survived. Danny Jacobs, let me finish this, my theory here. Danny Jacobs' battle and winning battle with Triple G, that he stopped Triple G's 23 straight KOs. He outboxed him, out-flim-flammed him, outboxed him, out-jabbed him. Not enough to my book, but this is what Canelo used in the first fight. He took a page out of him, and Abel Sanchez says, well, he ran. If he wanted the title, he should have stood up and fought Triple G. Well, then Triple G would have knocked him out. That's what I'm saying, would have knocked him out easy in that first fight. Now Canelo kept saying all along, I learned. Remember, Andre Ward said the same thing. I learned, even from the knockdown with Kovalev, how to beat this guy. I'm going to beat him, not only beat him, but I could probably knock him out the second time. You know damn well that talk is cheap. But, man, the man proved that he knew what he was talking about. This is the second thing around. Canelo said, after the first fight, I learned how to beat Triple G. I got a plan. This is not going to happen. He's not going to beat me. In fact, I'm going to knock him out. His battle plan worked. The only thing he didn't do was knock him out. Now, the fight was again closed, but I gave it to Canelo 115-113 because he outbeat the guy, outpunched him, and had Triple G confused, backing up sometimes, which is rare. Okay. And the stalker was Canelo.
First of all, I had to fight 116-112. After the second round, Triple G looked tired. After the fifth round, he was bewildered. He didn't step
forward. This is what I was talking. I just finished saying that.
The 10th or 11th round. Hold on. Danny, are you here, Danny?
I'm here, yeah.
Danny?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm
okay.
Here.
Okay. Danny Styles is joining us here.
Francisco.
Danny, now, did you see the Triple G Canelo fight?
Yes. I had.
Okay. Yeah, lady.
What? 115, 114, Triple G.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I didn't see it that way. Okay, Bobby, go ahead.
Well, okay, well, hold it. You know, Danny, another thing real quickly. Let's talk a minute or two. The greatest Latin fighter of all times, my guy, the greatest non-heavyweight of his era, Roberto Duran. Duran was in town a couple of weeks ago. How did that event go?
Oh, it went bad because of the fact is that maybe 8 or 10 people showed up.
Oh, my God.
It was poorly organized at night. But at the lunchtime where Dusty was going to show up, there was a lot of people there. But the thing was that Duran missed his flight.
Oh.
So he had to come in at night.
Oh,
now,
shit.
Damn. The sad part about it was that Duran was intact. He was talking about Mayweather. He said he'd work Mayweather out and he'd beat him any day of the week, that he'd take him to school. And that we all know that he said that Triple G won that fight.
But that's his opinion.
Yeah, he also said something that I found amazing. He said that he knocked out a fighter in each round from 1 to 15. In other words, he knocked out a fighter in round one and another fighter in round two and so on until the 15th round.
Oh, every round he scored a knockout. I see. Yeah. It's possible.
Well,
I got to look that up.
Duran is without question the greatest Latin fighter ever. He's without question. I mean, you have to realize that in the era of Ali, the second era, Duran was picked the best fighter pound for pound. And in today's game, when you say Durant, okay, you're the greatest of an athlete is just say one name, Tiger. We're talking Tiger Woods, Ali, Muhammad Ali, okay? Durant, we know Roberto, Mike, and back in the day, Tyson, Jordan, Zeke. We're talking Isaiah Thomas. And, I mean, and he, this is the guy who carried the mantle for the Latin people and media way back. You know, we're talking way, way back. And it was, I mean, people forget this too, as Marion Borkin said, when he picked his top four fighters, Durant, Hearns, Hagler, Durant was first, Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, and Hagler. Now, Durant was number one, he said, because you just take the fact that he came up two weight classes past his prime to beat the best Ray Leonard. To beat the best Ray Leonard. He retired Ray Leonard, and he wasn't at his best. And when, you know, there's one and one A. Him and Ali are one and one A. It's sad that they didn't have a big enough crowd for the greatest Latin fighter of all time. And, I mean, now there's a lot of merit to what he says, too. But there's no question, Lady A, no question, Dusty, no question, Danny, that he would beat Mayweather. I mean, he would take Mayweather out.
Oh, my God. Why
round.
Are we having this conversation? I swear to God, I think he does stuff just to irritate me. Dude, I think you say stuff just to irritate me, man. I swear to God.
Listen.
Mayweather would
beat Durant?
No, of course not. Durant would destroy him. That's just destroy him.
Mayweather.
Come on now.
Durant.
Hey, Francis, didn't you say Hector Camacho could beat Durant?
Listen. I told you now, I like this lady. Hector Camacho was the only guy who beat Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard, but he beat them both when they were past their prime.
Yes, past
Camacho
their prime.
That's exactly what I said.
Well, listen, I asked Durant that. I asked him what happened, and what he told me was, listen, that one of the times I didn't know that Denver was such a high altitude, and they took me out there.
Altitude,
and,
yeah.
By the second or the third round, I was out of gas.
Yeah, well, listen.
Hey, Doc, didn't you say Mayweather was the greatest of all time?
That's right. Eat your words.
TBE, Doc, please, man. TBE, Doc. TBE.
But no, there's no way that Mayweather would have survived in onslaught.
Come on, man. You know Durant would have destroyed him.
There's no way. People don't seem to understand that Durant was an elevator fighter. That's an expression.
Come on, man. Durant would have destroyed Mayweather. Destroyed him.
Listen. A lot of people want to hate on Mayweather, right? But you got to understand that the IQ that the man had would have found a way to beat anybody. I understand that he waited until the opportunity to find somebody. This is Gary.
Who's the 201 call?
Listen,
yes,
Gary.
That's Gary, yeah.
Oh, my nephew. Gary, let me tell you something, Gary.
Let me finish. Okay, if you're going to say right now, we all say that Sugar Ray Leonard is a great boxer, right? But he did the same thing to Durant, waited him, 10 years to fight that third fight?
Yeah, to fight it,
you know,
for the rematch and the nomás.
Exactly. So fighters are smart to know when's the right time to fight people. But you have to admit, every time Mayweather fought somebody, he did what he had to do.
Exactly.
You know, and he never lost.
And he never gave you a rematch.
I need silence. Okay, Gary, he did what he had to do against who? I mean, the quality of fighters, you know, first of all, He didn't fight Pacquiao when he should have fought Pacquiao, okay?
Exactly.
Nobody did Mayweather fight. Now, the Mayweather previously, the first win some fight, he was more best of fighters than the great fighters. And that guy, just a Mayweather, Durant would have knocked out in the 34th round because he came to him, okay? Now, the second Mayweather, first of all, you're talking 15th round. You start with Durant. There's Tommy Hearns. There's Sugar Ray Leonard.
Okay.
There's Aaron.
I hear what you're saying, Doc. Right? But listen, you're not giving him any credit. A lot of fighters wait to fight certain people.
But if he waited,
he still won. Like he still
Danny,
won though. Like
Danny.
He could have easily lost these fights and he didn't. Canelo, Cotto, Mosley, any of them.
Durant. He wasn't fighting Ray Leonard. He wasn't fighting Tommy Hearns. You know, he wasn't fighting Alexis LaGuardia. He wasn't fighting him in front.
a lot of guys from that era, man. Keep going down the line, man. Mayweather doesn't have the competition that these guys had back then. You kidding me?
So these guys can't hang with some of the guys from back in the day. If we're talking about names, let me just
first
name
of all,
the generational fighters
fact
now.
That you got to fight 15 rounds. Come on,
De La
man.
Hoya. De La Hoya.
Please.
Cotto.
Past his prime
right?
when he
Mosley.
Fought him. Thank you.
Mosley.
Past his prime when he had to fight him.
Pacquiao.
Past his prime when he had to fight him.
I can name 7-8 fighters going to go to a Hall of Fame that he beat. And everybody's talking
after
about the same thing.
After their prime. After their prime. He picked and chose these guys to fight after their prime. He didn't.
Hold on, lady. Everybody stop. Listen, the Boxing Hall of Fame, excuse me, is perpetrating a fraud. You know,
of course.
Anybody can get the Boxing Hall of Fame now. You know what I mean? It used to be a time, elite fight. So they'll not use the Boxing Hall of Fame as a criteria. Now, what we're saying here is, and I've sounded like, what we're saying here is the quality of fighters that were back in the day are nowhere near. And Mayweather's here with the same fight. You like Mayweather, what he did as a businessman. But the reality of the situation is Floyd Mayweather Jr. does not beat Sugar Ray Leonard. You don't beat Tommy Hearns. Man, I mean, how great can you be if I can name five guys that can not only beat you but would knock you out? Now, understand, Danny, you have to understand history. And you're not doing your boxing history. When DeRoyal
let me tell you something.
72-1. Hold on, Dusty. He was 72-1 when he fought Ray Leonard. Okay? And he beat, arguably, Dusty, Lady A, the second greatest, or unquestioned, the third greatest welterweight of all time. Beat him. And he beat him coming up two weight classes and past his prime. Mayweather is a great fighter, not the greatest. And if him and Pacquiao, I remember when we had my man, Bert Flowers, on the show, he said, if Pacquiao and Mayweather, but back in the day, it had stayed down at 135. I tell you a guy who would have wiped up Mayweather easily, Hector Macho Camacho. Gang, continue the argument. Come on, gang. Talk
Look,
me.
Let me tell you something. Mayweather got beat 3 or 4 times, and he got gifts. Number one, Jose Luis Castillo took him to lunch.
Thank you. Take it
and
there.
And gave
Take
him a
fight. Yes?
In my opinion, now this is a debate. In my opinion, I felt that Golden Boy beat him. They gave it to Golden. I mean, they gave it to him.
I'll
in my
you,
opinion,
that
the first
fight.
Fight no, let me finish. The Maidana fight, the first Maidana fight, Maidana beat him. And they gave it to him. Okay?
Thank you.
Now, Mayweather is, you're right, a businessman, but he's also an adjuster. A man that knows what he's up to. And then he was slick enough, like a lot of guys, he never fought a rematch. And the only time he fought a rematch was Jose Luis Castillo, who was way overweight and didn't give a shit and picked up his money. And then he fought Maidana, and
well,
who
Ray
almost knocked him out of
the
fourth round, and that was it. But he never fought a rematch. That's what makes
well,
a person so great and undefeated. He retired at 49-0, blah, 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 but he never fought a rematch, okay?
I hear what you're saying.
Mosley would have heard around the world, but he couldn't knock him out.
I hear what you're saying, right? But if you're going to use that logic, right?
Yeah, but
then you have to understand.
Danny, I put you on freeze. Danny, here's the bottom line. Floyd Mayweather Jr. fought a guy who never fought a pro fight in his life, and the fight went 10 rounds? Do you think anybody who never fought a pro fight in their life would have went 10 rounds with Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, Ali, or Durant? This guy never fought a pro fight in his life. And Mayweather had to wait till he get tired to get him. Let's think about that, Dan, and understand.
Which guy you talking about, Doc? You lost me there.
I'm talking about the McGregor, the UFC guy.
Oh, McGregor, you know, Doc. I thought you were talking about that, but I don't even talk about that garbage. That was bullshit. That's a money-making bullshitter. Understand? That's not part of the pro. Don't insult boxing by calling it a pro boxing win. That was nothing but a money-making farce. Okay?
And he won some rounds. Gang, hold on.
Almost knocked out Floyd in the first round with that left uppercut. Come on.
Okay.
But don't call that a fight, man.
We got another subject here. Danny talked to me today, and he felt that somehow baseball kind of orchestrates certain teams to get into the playoffs and World Series. And, you know, I thought about that. We could never kind of get away from that. But, Danny, can you elaborate on your thoughts on that so we can kind of jump on that subject too?
What was that again? Did you see?
Remember, you were saying earlier today. Yeah, right, yeah. Can shoot that to Lady A, Dusty, and your uncle, Danny, as well as already told me ready. Give us your thoughts on that.
No, yeah. So basically, when we called you, right, we were having a conversation in regards to analytics, right?
Yeah.
How analytics plays a part when it comes into baseball. So my argument is that the mindset when it comes to building a team has changed based off the criteria of how much money you're allocating to players on the specifics of analytics. So I mentioned to him that the folks who are instilling analytics to pick up players and sign them and also using it in regards to scoring runs are the same teams that are going to the World Series every single year. The Red Sox, the Kansas City Royals, the Giants, the Los Angeles, the St. Louis Cardinals. You see the same teams over and over going to the World Series having $60 million payroll. Francis's mindset, and I'll let him speak for himself in a second, is stating that analytics can change based off one error, one specific event that happens, and that you can't play baseball using numbers. So that's basically the topic.
But you can't play baseball using numbers regarding, I mean, you mean to tell me that they are programmed like a computer, and these are the guys, as I understand what you're saying, these are the guys that are programmed every year to go to the playoffs and the wild card and the World Series because they're programmed?
So basically an example, right? So like the Cardinals, right? They won the World Series. And back in the day, their best player, like let's say the best player of a team, like Albert Pujols, right?
Yeah.
He was one of the people who carried him to win the World Series. Back in the day, be like, you know what? I'm spending $200 million. I'm going to sign this guy because he's the reason why we won. But analytics now is like, hey, listen, somebody who's 29 years old signing a 7-year contract, the math doesn't add up in the data that we have. That's a bad contract to sign. So they let him go. And at that time, they're like, wow, how do you let your best player go? And they want to put in the World Series again anyway in a couple years without him.
Yeah.
Because it goes to
show you that it's not the player. Because look at the Yankees. They supposedly have the biggest payroll with Stanton and all them other suckers, and yet they backdoor themselves into the playoffs. And to me, they're going to get wiped out by the Athletics. It don't mean crap. It's the way you play. Before the season, they started talking about, oh, this is this dynasty with all the young blood and all them, the Bronx Bombers, they're going to kill the league. And look what they're doing. They're losing to mediocre teams, the National League teams, and the teams, and they wind up sneaking the way into, they were nip and tuck with Boston, and now they fell, Boston beat the shit out of them, and now they're coming backdoor. I mean, with all the money and payroll they got all better ball players than some other teams got.
But the other teams, for a long time, they didn't have Judge though. They remember Aaron Judge. I mean, that's the thing too that Danny that have to look at this is that you know the plan may start out that way. The injuries can turn things around. I mean, you're talking about Kansas City getting the World back to back, but you know it's easier to set up a basketball game. It's easier to set up a football game because, you know, I can throw an interception. I can miss my free throw. Baseball is kind of hard. And you know, baseball wants to go off in California in the World Series. They want the big market teams. And what I thought about George Steinbrenner, how he would say, you know what, Dusty's on the Kansas City Royals. I need a third baseman. I'm going to buy Dusty. And a lot of the
sentiment. And I'm going to bring him in. Exactly.
There could be some truth to what you say, Danny, because, you know what, I found that sports in general has a very anti-New York sentiment. Dusty's hitting 347, 42 home run, 102 RBIs, but they give the MVP to the guy on Kansas City who hit 10 points lower and 5 less RBIs, and they're trying to tell you that, well, it's like, okay, the year that Daryl Strawberry hit 39 home runs and led the Mets to the playoffs, they gave the MVP to Chris Gibson. Gibson, 279, 23 home runs. He wasn't MVP. But it shows not only the anti-New York sentiment, but always blatant over racist mindset of baseball. They're telling you that this white guy, superior, was more valuable to his team to the black guy who was the key to the best team.
Well,
so,
that supports what I'm about to say.
According to Gary,
I want to win a game.
That the analytical tells you when the guy is going to go in a slump, when a guy is going to hit for power, when a guy is you know what, the analyticals, they tell you everything. But they even going to tell you how many times you went to the bathroom.
Let me tell you something. I want to win a game. I want to win a playoff. I want to go to the World Series. Give me 9 Rod Carews. I don't need no home runs. I need a dude who's going to place that ball out of the infield.
This is the problem with that, right? A team, Rod Carew is a Hall of Famer, right? A team cannot afford 9 Rod Carews. The point of what I'm saying
guys,
I don't want you guys to miss the point. What I'm saying is that once free agent became rampant, right, from like 1989 to 2002, the Yankees and some of the powerhouse teams who had the money to sign the big free agents were always the best team in the major league. But once analytics came around and they saw, hey, you can find great players without spending that kind of money, you had the teams like I told you, the Kansas Cities of the world, Tampa Bay making it to the World Series.
Can I say something?
The Rockies making it to the World Series.
Lady, hold on. I'll come in here, Lady.
Yeah.
Hold on, Lady. Come on. Say something, Lady.
I was just going to say, the only reason why analytics has become what it's become is because of what Billy Beane was able to do. Once he was able to show that there was an effective method, based on that, everybody jumped on a bandwagon.
Exactly.
It's not effective. That's the point. It's not effective.
Well, it was effective for his team.
For Billy Beane.
And he saw what he was able to do with his team.
Yeah, number one. Billy Beane.
Francis,
one.
You see what I'm saying? You got 3 people saying the same thing. How important analytics are for teams who can't afford
big people.
They're
wrong what they're saying. They're all wrong. Billy Beane is number one. The A's are number one.
But he was able to turn around his team. That's the whole point. Whether he was, he was able to show what he could do with a team, and that's the reason why everybody jumped on the bandwagon because they saw his success.
The thing is that you can project what a player is going to do, but you can't tell them what he's going to do. I'll give you an example. If Tanaka is throwing to Gary Sanchez, you know Tanaka in the back of his mind is going to say, "Listen, I'm not going to throw that curveball because Gary Sanchez can't catch that curveball. It might be a pass ball." So what he's going to do is he's going to throw a fastball. The analytics is not going to tell you, listen, don't throw curveballs to Gary Sanchez because he can't catch. You understand? The analytics only go by when you're doing good, when you're at your prime, when you're at your best. They never tell you when you make an error, when somebody strikes out, when somebody doesn't feel good to play ball, when you don't feel like playing, when you're tired, when you say, I feel good today, I'm going to hit through, go 3 for 3.
You're missing my point and the premise of what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is he was able to show that it was effective for his team. Everybody copied thinking that it would be effective for their team.
Yeah.
You cannot implement what is workable in one team to other ball players. What happens is everybody becomes a copycat, but you understand your brand new Cadillac cannot run with a Maserati. So it may have won a couple two races, but
hey,
it's not
Dusty,
in the same
Hey,
car.
Dusty, that's like putting a hose on a rescue truck.
Let's go to the facts, though, right? You're saying that it wasn't competing against the Maserati. You're wrong, right? Because in 2003, the Florida Marlins had a $35 million payroll. A-Rod was getting paid $25 million, and they got slapped around in the World Series, okay? The next year after that, the Red Sox, using analytics, which in that movie you saw was the first year they started using it, they won the World Series. Same thing with the White Sox, 2005. It was in the
all right, but what I'm saying is it's all based on what you feel is effective for your organization. I think everybody's missing my point, Doc. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Look.
What I'm saying is you're correct.
You got,
okay, you know what? Here's the bottom line. Two and two is four. Five take away one is four. Okay? Now, you're talking about A-Rod had the best series. No, you forget the Red Sox got three guys on their team that's Hall of Famers. I mean, Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz was part of that team. You know, so we look at Max, David, probably was better than the first
grade. You just fell for the trap, Doc. You fell for the trap, Doc, because in 2012, they were in last place. In 2012, they were in last place. In 13, okay, they wound up signing four free agents for less than $5 million.
About the team. We're talking about the team that played against the Yankees. I mean, there's two things here that Dusty's got to understand, what Dusty Baker said, too. The way that division was set up, okay, and listen, the Yankees and Boston were always going to be 1-2. The one that didn't win the division got the wild card. That's simple. The one that didn't win the division
got
every year.
But
I remember one year,
Doc,
was so set up that when
Tampa,
Boston
Tampa Bay
was over
went to the World Series. Tampa Bay went to the World Series in 07.
See, you guys.
That's the exception.
You guys seem to forget.
You know, somehow, something went wrong.
Was possible because of analytics. That exception was possible because of analytics. Because you're right. Back in the day, right, no one liked the Tampa Bay Rays.
How many more times has Tampa Bay went to the World Series?
All I'm saying is that wouldn't have been possible in the past without the mindset of using analytics.
Then you're referring to when Lou Piniella was fired from the Yankees and took over, the Cincinnati Reds? His first year, he organized a team there that went all the way and won the World Series. Is that what you're talking about, analytics? I mean, the right chemistry and the right analysis and the right this and the right that.
Analytics.
The following year, he couldn't win Dick, man.
No. What I'm saying is the analytic is a holistic view, all right? Holistic view and how you view how you win games by using runs, how you sign players, how you look in the farm system and pick up certain guys based off criteria from a numerical standpoint. That's what I mean. And I'm not
But then you're robotizing the guys, man. You're picking up robots. And they're going to do this because of that. And because of this, they're going to do that. That's impossible.
All I'm saying is,
Hold on.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media. And you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
From Caxias, Brazil. Danny Baseball is here. Danny Nephew is here. The First Lady of the Sweet Science, the Ollie of her kind, the one and only Dusty, who was there when Cain and Abel threw down for the first time.
I still got the gloves.
And you got the stone. And once again, this show to Mark Breland, who lost his beloved mother. So we send our prayers. Shout out, hoping that George Santiago could join us. He's in Colombia. For your hope, be back to you on that show. Again, we're going to roll a little bit more. This has been a great back and forth, to and fro. So we're looking at Lady has to see Triple G and Canelo. Danny thought Triple G won. Duran thought Triple G won. Let's see. Danny, Nephew, did you see the Triple G Canelo fight?
Yes. So here was my assessment on that. I can hear people saying why they thought Triple G won, but at the same time, what I saw is that once he got hit with the body shots, he started backing up away, right?
Exactly.
He wasn't the aggressor anymore. And then from there, what wound up happening was that he just kept throwing jabs, and he was just throwing jabs.
There
so
you
late
go.
On in between.
And exactly what June said. He said the body shots were the difference, and he was surprised that Triple G wasn't throwing more body shots, but he felt that the turning factor and the big factor in Canelo winning and Triple G losing was the body shots. And that's the thing, Danny, that would have took down Mayweather against Duran, the body shots. Another guy that gave him a good fight, too, Julio Cesar Chavez. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust in God. They're real, live from Caxias, Brazil. But we'll be doing some more shows here. Got some meetings coming up. Gang, real quickly, let me shoot this to my boxing people. Dusty, me and Lady L already did this, but we're going to do it again. I'm going to start with you, and I'm going to ask you, Dusty, who wins? I'm giving these fights. I need the pick. And Danny's hold on, Lady A. Who wins a Sonny Liston, Larry Holmes fight?
Oh, my
my God. I'm hanging up, Doc.
No, lady, don't leave.
No, Doc, because look, you know what, Doc? I'm not having this conversation, Doc, because I already told you. You gotta specify.
Okay, lady, you know what you do.
Lady,
you do this. Lady, present the
question
for me. Go ahead.
I said, wait, hold up, Dusty. I said to him, who wins the Sonny Liston, Larry Holmes fight before, Sonny Liston before he fought Ali?
That's the question in its entirety. And that's the one that I was going to say, what was before Ali or whatever.
Before Ali, Sonny Liston and Larry Holmes.
Well, the fact of the matter is that my money will be on Larry Holmes. And I'll tell you why. Because Larry Holmes had a piston-like jab, like Joe Louis, a punishing jab. Now, if he could hold that stamina for 10, in those days it was 15 rounds. For 15 rounds, but he couldn't mix with Larry Holmes. Listen, he had to do what Ali did with Liston, shim-sham him and move. But Larry Holmes could not move like Ali. So
what happens?
I would say yes. Larry Liston? Holmes, but eventually Liston will catch up to him in
thank
the later
you.
Rounds and
yeah,
knock
yeah,
him out.
You.
And
thank
knock
you.
Him out.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Danny Styles. Listen,
you
concur against Larry Holmes?
Danny? No, I would go with Sonny Liston, and I think Sonny Liston gets him in the late rounds.
Thank you.
Yep.
You would go. Okay. And Danny nephew?
I would have to go with Sonny Liston.
He was a big intimidator back in the day. I mean, I don't know what was going on with that fight with the mob and some of the other stuff, but back in the day in his prime, you know, he was the best fighter, so I give it a Liston.
Okay, Lady A, give him my next one. My next one was, what was it, Duran Mayweather?
No. Our next one was Sonny Liston before Ali versus Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson before he got arrested.
Okay,
Mike
Lady
Tyson
A.
before he
Come
got
on.
Arrested.
No contest. That would be Liston over Mike Tyson. No contest.
I don't know about that.
Well,
you could doubt it.
But hey, you got a guy who's 6'2", 6'3", and a dude who's 5'10". I don't give a crap how bad he's supposed to be. Mike Tyson was not going to get in between Liston's arms without getting hit, without getting clobbered. Okay.
Okay. So we got Danny Styles that goes the other way. Danny nephew, come on, baby. We got Liston.
I'm gonna have to go with Liston again. I feel that every time that Mike Tyson fought somebody who wasn't afraid of him, he shriveled up like a shell. I think anybody
that
when he fought Buster Douglas wasn't afraid of him. Both of the times he fought Evander Holyfield wasn't afraid of him, and Lennox Lewis. Anytime he fought somebody that wasn't intimidated by him and didn't get scared from his scutadry, you know, they had a good chance against Tyson. And I think Sonny Liston is someone
Danny,
else who was a.
But Danny, we're talking about not Mike Tyson at his best. If
that's right.
Hank Wilkins said had Holyfield and Tyson
so then you're gonna have to be more specific.
That fight would have ended 3 minutes or three punches, whatever Tyson dictated on that one. The first Mike Tyson. Now, here's another one for you, gang. Lady 80, shoot. Okay, hold tight. Lady 80, I asked you this one, too. Who wins? You ready? Mike Tyson at his best, smoking Joe Frazier.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I like Frazier.
Mike Tyson was not the animal that you guys think he was, man. I'm telling you, he was not.
Who, Frazier?
No, Mike Tyson was not the animal you guys think he was.
Oh, no.
I agree with you, brother.
I totally agree. Listen, Frazier all the way. 100%.
Dustin, talk politics and give us a winner. Quit playing the middle here. So you're saying that Frazier wins?
Frazier wins. And by knockout.
Yeah.
Frazier wins and by knockout, I'm telling you.
Hey, Doc, I got one more for you. We talked about before. I got one more. Who wins?
Come on, lady.
Ali.
Go ahead.
Ali, okay, versus Teofilo Stevenson.
Ali, hands down. Teofilo Stevenson has one hand, right hand. That's it. He waved with the left hand.
I'm talking about Ali and amateurs. Okay, go ahead. What'd you say?
Ali.
Teofilo was Stevenson was a three-round fighter.
Look, let me tell you. Look, you guys got to look at history. Teofilo Stevenson was a big, gigantic, heavy-handed Cuban. He only had one hand, the right hand. Do you see what he did to Wayne? Was it Dwayne Bobic? Well, one hand.
Yeah.
Now, he could never succumb or deal with the Ali moves and shifts. Ali would dance Roomba all over him, Cuban Roomba, and knock him out. Now, Lennox Lewis was the same as Teofilo Stevenson. He only had one hand, the right hand. That's how he knocked out in out of shape Riddick Bowe in the Olympics. Emmanuel Stewart said, I'm going to take over Lennox Lewis, and I'm going to give him a right hand. I'm going to give him a jab, and I'm going to give him a left hook. If it hadn't been for that, Mr. Lennox Lewis would be in Palookaville with no titles. He took
back to Danny Styles, Roberto Duran, Castro flew Duran into Cuba having dinner, and he told the Ascholo who would win a Ali Stevenson fight. Duran told Castro that Ali would destroy him. Castro told Duran get back on the plane and get back to Panama.
Because of the fact that Teofilo Stevenson was nothing but one run, and then Felix Sanon, his sparring partner, who he beat for the Olympics, finally got to him and knocked him out, and won Olympic gold. He got to Felix. He got to Teofilo Stevenson, and then Felix Sanon became the number one heavyweight in Cuba. He knocked out
Stevenson. Hold on, Dusty. This is why you listen to sports in depth. These are the best people in the world. You hear this? You've learned this from Dusty. Lady, I'll be for time. Both of my things. You learn stuff here, you don't hear any, but the HBO boxing is dying because not only is the sport dying, but the guys announcing they're perpetrating the fraud. Bad right hand stack. These are the best people you're ever going to hear, and I'm blessed by God to have them as friends and associates. Lady A, what's our next big fight? Come on.
Oh, I had another one for you. I was gonna say in the heavies, Jack Johnson versus Ali.
Jack Johnson.
Whoa. We don't have tapes of Jack Johnson, man. All we saw is Jack Johnson all messing around with white women. That's what I remember him doing.
And listen. When we talk about this fight, what gloves are they using? The one that Jack Johnson used, or the one that Ali's using?
The daddy boy, but what? How come Celso telling it like it is?
Oh well, that's funny. To get to a serious knack, I think it will be a toss up, really, because of the way Jack Johnson fought and the way Ali danced. And believe you me, one of the best boxers in that era was Jack Johnson. And Ali could dance and prance, but Jack Johnson can hit like a mule, man. So I don't know. I just said Jack Johnson, but I mean, that's a good question. That's a good matchup. I would love to see that.
We're not giving this guy any love, man. We're not giving this guy any love. I think Joe Lewis would be both of them, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not talking about Joe Lewis. We're talking about Jack Johnson and Muhammad Ali, you say?
Think that Joe Lewis would have been Ali? I think he would have been him and Jack Johnson.
Well, let me tell you something. Joe Lewis was a club-footed, heavy-footed dude who glided and glided and glided. Okay? His devastating armament was that jab and that right hand. Ali would have danced and pranced. Remember what Joe Lewis went through with Billy Kahn. Huh?
Too small. Remember?
Yeah.
Too small.
Of course, he was smaller than Ali. But remember what Joe Lewis went through with Billy Kahn. Billy Khan slapped the crap out of him for 11 rounds, and he was losing. Then he said, I can knock out this dude.
Jersey Joe
beat Joe Louis anytime, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Joe Louis, Jersey Joe beat Joe Louis. He beat him so badly that Joe Louis, at the end of the fight, stepped out of the ring. And when they announced that he had won, he had to come back into the freaking ring. But Jersey Joe Walker slapped him and beat him badly. Come on, look at history.
Yeah, okay, we're going to talk some more, but let's do a little closing here. We do Doc Sandy Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network, live from Caxias, Brazil. Danny Allstrike Styles here. Danny Detcher is here. Lady Ali Haig is here. And Dusty.
I forgot to tell you guys, there's a press conference this week. I don't know where. I think it's October 4th. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. They're making a stop in California, and then they're coming into New York. I don't know where it's located, so if you guys find out where it's located, let me know. I might go there. Another one. Number two, Doc. Michael Buffer, let's get ready to rumble, left HBO. And he's now with Eddie Hearns and Anthony Joshua. He's the announcer. Him and David Diamante, the guy with the long threads. They went with Eddie Hearns.
What?
So no more HBO for Michael Buffer.
That the Canelo fight wasn't there. I know that the Canelo fight, and we wanted, once again, to know Buffer got over some cancer problems a few years ago, throat cancer, so he's done better. And, you know, Eddie Hearns seemed to come in here now and done some things. Gotta see what happens. Dusty, also keep us aware. Send applications out so we can put in for that Danny Jacobs fight. And gang, hold on a second. Let's say before we all close out tonight. Dr. Danny's supposed to have live from Caxias, Brazil. Danny, all Spice Styles, Danny Nephew, the first lady of the sweet science, and the incomparable Dusty. Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills
little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow. Oh,
what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
live. Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save.
And if I may say that the sports in-depth nation is here. The sports in-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Man, you know, it touches my heart every time we hear that. Right, words. Comparable? That's Lady A. Danny Strikes, Danny Nipkins, Dusty. Also, in our prayers, bring the family for Dusty. Dusty's having no problems in your prayers and our thoughts. So intricate to all that we do here at Sports in Depth. And, wow. Dusty, we're going to roll. We're going to do something later on this week, some more boxing stuff. Just another great show by the greatest panel in the world. Say goodnight to everybody in Espanol, Dusty.
Bueno, gracias por participar en el programa Sports in Depth, el deporte de todas las ondas, y bienvenidos y cuídense and God bless. Okay?
That's the
and
last,
let's
a
get
last
together again and debate because this is... You said that?
No, I said, okay, last pick and fight. Who wins Sugar Ray Robinson and Too Sweet Doc Stanley?
Hey, Doc Stanley, I got my money. I bet the ranch. But the next day, I'll be homeless.
Hey, Dusty. Dusty, good night. Love to the family. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Garden Network. Three thoughts. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others? You meant you pay for your room here on Earth. A life is not important. Except an impact has on another life. Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali. I simply say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you on trust in God. Larry Hardy, she says good night for us. Dusty, talk to you in a couple of days. Love you, buddy. Thanks for everything.
Thank you. God bless. Take care. Okay. Family, familia, God bless. Take care.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Once again, shouting out to our beloved Rosie from Volta Redonda, and closing the show, let you remember that we're here because a life was given so that we could have life. A life that had no sin and really undeserved.
Died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain. Of a love so true, you gave your life, and still I heard you. Lost so many times to supply you again, but I repent. Forgive me for my sins. You paid it all up on the cross. You bled and died, 'cause I was lost. So here I am, surrendering all. Lord, hear my cry. On my knees I fall. You paid it all. Oh, oh, you paid it all. Oh, oh, you paid it all. I realize I'm no good. Ooh, ain't no money I can pay in exchange for the blood. I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight, so I can have everlasting life.
Paid in full, a debt not made, and a promise kept. That's the one superstar. Quotes Jackie Robinson I like so much is I don't have a problem with you liking me or not liking me, as long as you respect me. Above all else, hate to lose. Life is not important except for the impact it has on another life. That was impacted. Closing with Larry Hardesty one more time. No, we're going to close with my favorite Earth, Wind & Fire song, and then Larry will say goodnight one more time. Earth, Wind & Fire, my favorite song by them. And, you know, there's one I like a lot, too. Reminds me of the night before Faith and Skill. She is in for the laser. She's very quiet and serene. It's a good feeling. Thank you for being with us tonight. Once again, on Sports and Desktop, it's involved in networking. Favorite Earth, Wind & Fire song. Will the Billy lead this one? at News Life Way to first winning spot where Roll of Flowers. I've seen it. What's the path of this? God, pretty much. And fly. A world, so many friends, we have so few real ones. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now, how we don't kind of understand and comprehend that. Trust in God. Larry Hardesty.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.